What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane, where today's episode features probably the biggest guest we've ever had, ever will have, until we get LeBron. The most excited I've personally ever been about a guest. I know Joey feels similarly. The man himself is D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo, D-loading, Dak, whatever Doc, you want to call him. Doc, whatever you want to call him. We get into a nickname conversation with him. But before we get to all that, we got to talk a little CJ Stroud. We got to talk a little no fun league NFL because our teams are no fun. And I have a little surprise question for Joey. But Joey, how fun was that D'Angelo Russell interview? Usually we talk about it after. Today we're going to talk about it before.
Yeah, a little sandwich before that. We'll talk about it, then we'll get sad, and then we'll talk about it again. Yeah, it was awesome. Long time coming. We say that with every guest, but genuinely, long time coming because we talked about it in the episode. But like, I saw him in the locker room like 3 years ago, and I was. He's like, "What's up with you? We're just shooting the shit." And I'm like, "You should come on our show." And he's like, "Yeah, whenever." Then he tells us, "I'll come on with Jeff Bowles," which shout out to Coach Bowles. He actually DMs me every time I play golf and guesses my score. And he's gotten the last two rounds exactly right, which is so funny. He like responds to my Instagram stories and he'll be like 80. And then I'll text him like 3 hours later and be like, "Coach, you're exactly right." But anyway, he wanted to come on with JT and Kata, which he talked about. We talked about that in the interview, blah, blah, blah. A blast. I mean, it's just funny because he's only 1 year older than us.
Which is so weird.
So weird. I agree with you in the sense that he's arguably the biggest, right? Urban Meyer, probably bigger, but D'Angelo Russell is an all-star.
Followers-wise, D'Lo's bigger.
Lots of followers. We will be posting on Instagram so that 3.6 million people can see it. Hopefully if he reposts it, which he probably won't, respectfully, but long line of great lefty point guards from Mike Connolly to D'Angelo Russell to AJ Harris. And, you know, we're just lucky to get the first of those three. Hopefully we finished that trio off, but what an incredible interview. What an awesome guy. Like, he's always been cool. Like, it's not an accident that all these former Ohio State guys are just genuinely great people. But he's the reason why beyond the coaching staff, beyond myself being a good basketball player, he is the actual reason why I got to play at Ohio State. And we obviously, no spoilers, talk about that on the interview as well. That. Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, we're going to get to that. But speaking of cool former Ohio State guys, CJ Stroud is just on fire while simultaneously being as cool as the other side of the pillow at the same time. First player in NFL history to do that, be on fire and be cool. So he's been unbelievable. It's been fun to watch. I have a future bet on Stroud to win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, you don't say.
Which I've mentioned to Joey many times. It's a nice bet. It was obviously better odds than if you take it right now, but there was a point in the season where he didn't look great in the first game. And I was
Anthony Richardson looked unbelievable. And
what a waste of money. There you go. The odds Puka are Nakua down right is, now.
He's the danger.
It's going to be Puka Nakua or Stroud, assuming no injuries. Bijan Robinson has a chance. Yeah,
Bijan was great the first game, too. That's why.
But the team in the offense is just like so, so bad. And Stroud, they look really, they're dominating.
Genuinely, like, RG3 said on Twitter, like right before we recorded, not only is CJ Stroud the Texans franchise guy, which obviously, I mean, he's setting the record for most yards in four starts now, most passes without an interception, all this stuff. RG3 said, not only is he the Houston Texans guy, he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw also, is CJ Stroud a top 10 NFL quarterback right now? I think
pump the brakes a little, but maybe.
Pump the brakes a little, but it gets to a point where it's like, is he not? Like, you could get into an argument about like a Baker Mayfield versus CJ Stroud, where obviously if you had to have one or the other, you're taking Stroud for your team.
Right now, sitting
like
here
right now, October, playoff game. And I probably am still saying Stroud, but like, that's where like you would argue and Bill Simmons would say one thing, we'd say another. Wait, can I say something completely off topic?
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay, completely off topic. It was D'Lo, Mike Conley-ish, and LeBron that were like the dream guests. Now that we got D'Lo,
for me.
Yeah. Now that we got D'Lo, can I insert a new dream guest?
Sure.
Bill Simmons. new dream guest alert.
All right. But I love that. Well, if you didn't know, because Andrew runs our Twitter and stuff, we always are posting about CJ Stroud and how great he is. Like, it's like propaganda for the voters out there to vote for him for Rookie of the Year. But the only shot, I think, is if Anthony Richardson goes berserk, which he looked pretty damn good today again, but CJ Stroud has a leg up on him because he's not hurt. He wasn't hurt. But Puka Nacua, if Cooper Kupp comes back, Puka Nacua could just be just your average Joe, really good rookie, not the best rookie wide receiver. So we'll see. I'm rooting for you, obviously. I know we've talked about some top 10 wide receivers out there. If you're wondering, the Bears do not have a top 10 quarterback. The Bears do not have a top 10 quarterback in the NFL in Justin Fields, and DTR, not a top 10 confirmed. Not a top 10 quarterback for the Browns as we watched our teams be absolutely miserable today. I don't think we want to spend too much time on being doom and gloom. Instead, a lot of people are probably listening to Drive the Lane maybe for the first time right now because of the great guests we have. So what do you say, Andrew? Maybe we just quickly, if there's anything else you want to cover, we'll do it at the end of the interview. But
I'm happy to just say the Browns and the Bears suck. Browns less suck. It's more about DTR. Happy to say that. But then I'm also happy to just ask you my little hypothetical question that we talked about after the interview.
Perfect. We'll save it for the end. Awesome interview with D'Angelo Russell. We will absolutely have him on again. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to root for the Lakers because he's came on the show. So I was holding out for a while, but Laker Nation, I'm here.
Laker Nation, let's ride. All right, joining us now on Drive the Lane, probably the most excited I've ever been to talk to anyone ever, not just on a podcast, D'Angelo Russell, welcome to the show.
Wow, appreciate that, man. It's good to meet you guys. Good to meet you. You said we met before. I'm looking forward to this story you got. Appreciate y'all having me, though, for sure.
D'Angelo, before we kind of dive into it, obviously long time coming. We're very excited. I feel like every time I see you, I casually drop like, hey, man, we'd love to have you on the pod. And you go, yep, we'll figure it out. And it's great that it's finally happening. But before we kind of jump into everything, you are a man of many nicknames. It's not even nicknames. Like, they're all your name, you know, whether it be D-Russ, D'Angelo, D-Loading. You name it. Obviously, like, I know, like, Mata used to refer to you as Doc, which I thought was always funny because I didn't get that at all. But what do you want to be called during this interview? We don't like the full names. We don't do full names. So
Doc is by far my coolest nickname for my initials. And then the reasoning behind it, Dad always used to say I used to dish the ball out, assist type deal. So he referred to me as Doc, helping everybody, things like that. So I always appreciated that one. D'Lo is what I've been going by. I mean, that's been my name. I've adapted to it. I go by it. Someone calls my name, I refer to it. So I'm cool with that.
All right. We'll roll with D'Lo. We obviously, you know how this is going to work. Obviously, we're going to have a great time. We're going to talk about everything under the sun. But let's start from the beginning for now. And highly recruited guy, McDonald's All-American. Why Ohio State?
Honestly, it goes all the way back to just being recruited. I got recruited very young, so I got to keep in touch with some of the coaches that recruited me first, and the loyalty was always there. They recruited me hard, man. They always had their whole staff there at my practices in high school, and always spoke on the phone with one of the, I don't know, 6-7 guys that they had in the rotation of just coming to visit me or whatnot. So I always felt that love and care there. So I always felt the loyalty was me repaying them by attending the university, for sure.
Was there a moment that really swung you or like stuck out at one of your visits? Like, maybe it was a bunch of NBA players were at a football game that you were invited to. Like, was there any moment that stood out to you that was like, all right, I'm going to Ohio State?
I would say it was a few, but specifically, I mean, just Dad specifically was one of those guys that was just so positive. And throughout my time of being coached, I had a bunch of rah-rah coaches that were just the opposite of Dad. So to get a new fresh breath of air, a fresh breath of air from just the coaches just coming with a different concept and a different, you know, vibe to him, I appreciated that. He was always just a genuine guy at that too. And he always spoke confidence into me, and I always felt that as well. Like, to get that confidence from a coach, and he always believed in me, and I could feel that from day one. So I always felt that with him.
So Coach Mata obviously has a special place in both of our hearts. What I think is very funny is you and me are on the complete different ends of the spectrum, right? You probably are arguably the best player he's ever coached. I won't say I'm the worst player he's ever coached. That's not fair, but I didn't play, right? So one thing that I think is pretty funny is Coach Mata, special place in both of our hearts for different reasons in a sense, right? Our relationships are probably different, being that you might be arguably the best player he's ever coached. And I, you know, not to say I'm the worst, I don't think that's fair, but I didn't play. It's a different relationship. You know, we talked about how the market was doing, not necessarily like pick and roll coverages, right? So, but we were both at his Hall of Fame induction to the Ohio State Hall of Fame, which another story is that's the funniest group of guys that I've ever been involved in, right? It was you, Evan Turner, Gio, the list goes on and on, and then me, which was very funny. But he, in that speech, singled you out as one of the guys that went out of their way to believe in what Ohio State was doing and him as a coach. And I'm leaving out certain parts to allow you to kind of elaborate on it, but I'll blanket statement it by saying it was the high point of the cheating recruiting world. And I know you're smirking right now. You could have very easily have taken a lot of money to go play at insert gigantic college here, but you chose to come to Ohio State. So I'm asking the same question I already asked you, but with a little bit more of a detailed version of it. You know, what made you believe in what Thad Mata brought to the table versus going to get $80,000 and going to play for, say, call it Arizona?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I trusted my judge of character at a young age, and my dad was the same way. Like, he never really let anybody get close to me that he didn't have a good vibe with. And from the jump, he always talked highly of Ohio State. He was a fan of Ohio State. And I always remembered that too. But for the money thing, my dad honestly did a good job of just kind of keeping me locked into basketball. And I was kind of naive. I always tell people I was naive to how good I was at the time. So I didn't know people was offering for me to come to schools and do that thing. I didn't really have an idea that people felt that way about me. Like, my dad did a really good job of just kind of keeping me, you know, out of that loop. And he would always preach to me that you're going to make it on the back end, man. If you decide not to take the money and do it the right way, you'll make it. You'll make it in the long run. And that was really my MO. Like, agents and universities knew that, like, I wasn't taking money, man. I wanted to feel wanted. I wanted to feel needed and loved from the jump. And that's what I got with the coaching staff and just the aura of the university.
So we've had a ton of former players and coaches and current players and coaches on the show. And a lot of them, whether it's when they were playing with you in school, like Sam Thompson, or, you know, you've come back for alumni days, everyone says D'Angelo Russell is the best guy I've ever played with. But when you were at Ohio State, who were like your guys, maybe not even on the court, but like, who are the guys you're still tight with from, you know, your 1 year there? Who are the guys that you had the best chemistry with on the court? We want to hear about like your basketball and beyond life at Ohio State.
Honestly, man, I put it this way, and I mean in the most humble way. I didn't know like my game was to make the people around me better. Like, that was what my game was. Like, I did the passing, the shooting, the scoring. I had a little flash to me. But when you look at it, I made everybody around me better. And I truly felt like if I was there for another year, a lot of guys would have made it to the pro league before they did. And if they probably didn't have a chance, they would have had a chance just by playing with me and letting me allowing me to make them better. You know what I mean? Like, guys like Cameron Williams, like those dudes, he could score the ball. He just needs somebody to get it to him. And I was the guy that really took pride in getting him shots because I knew he was going to make them. Guys like Jayshon Tate, if I would have stayed my sophomore year, he would have been a guy that they would have seen was the next upcoming of Draymond Green. Like, they would have seen that way sooner. Kata Bates Diop, like, he was a guy that had all the intangibles, just needed a little fire under his ass just to kind of get him going a little bit. And I was that guy on accident. Like, I would have just realized that that's what he needed, and that would have been my way of making him better. And I understood that at a young age by being fans of the Chris Pauls and the Rondos and guys like that. I see how they had that connection with each individual player. So I took pride in that. Trevor Thompson, another guy, like, I feel like he could have been a pro way sooner. He would have had the spotlight on. They would have seen how good he is at 7 foot, and it would have been a guy that would have blossomed with me alongside of him. Dave Bell, those are all guys that, like, I really enjoy playing with, especially in practice. A lot of those guys redshirted as well, and I didn't get a lot of time with them, so we had a good chemistry off the court. And then when we got on the court, it all just flowed.
So I have a two-part question for you based off that. Number one, there were plenty of rumors, and by rumors I mean like Coach Mata literally telling us for years and years after that you wanted to stay, but he wouldn't let you, essentially. Yeah. Is that true?
I mean, like I said, I go back to being naive to how good I was. Like, I remember
You had to know that you were going to be a lottery pick, right? If you went.
Yeah.
No matter how good you were, you had to know that.
I definitely knew I was a lottery pick, right? But at first, I was on the year after's mock draft. They had me, like, going. So I never thought I was going to go first year. And then as the season went along, I was a top pick. And I mean, I was a first rounder. Then I was a mid-first round. Then all of a sudden, I was top five. Then I got a chance to go one. Like, it just all started happening for me. But when it all was all said and done, I remember being in coach's office, and I was telling him, I'm thinking about going. And he was like, hey, Doc, man, if I told you to stay, like, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I tried to get you to stay, man. You got to go. Like, you have to. And I was kind of tearing up. And I just didn't want to go. I wanted to experience college. Like, we just came off a national championship on the football side.
Yeah.
My teammates, my roommates, that college experience just alone, being with my brothers, was so fun that I just didn't want to leave it. And we lost in the second round. I thought if we would have won that game against Arizona, like, we would have really made a Final Four run and had a chance that year. Like, we were that team that was blossoming at the right time. So, in our camaraderie, just everybody messed with each other and vibed. It was destined for us to make a run. And if I would have came back, like, no telling what would have happened. But I just didn't want to leave the university. I appreciated it so much.
So my follow-up to that is, you know, I owe, as much as I owe Coach Mata, I really owe you too, because if you did stay, I wouldn't have been on the team the following year. So I remember getting a call from someone on the coaching staff. We can talk offline about that. After the West Virginia game and the preseason, the closed scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, D'Lo had 35 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds, or whatever it was. In
crazy times.
And he basically said, you know, hey, all that stuff where we were worried about having a roster spot for you, this kid, this point guard, this lefty that you heard about, like, he's gone. So
he's leaving. I remember that.
So that I have that to thank for you. And the most common question I always get is, they go, you were at Ohio State from 15 to 19, huh? So you played with D'Angelo Russell. I go,
no. Right.
I'm like, but he is the reason. He's the reason. So
I wish I would have stayed. I really do. But, and then that West Virginia scrim, I actually watched that the other day. I got Kyle Davis to send me the old all my old games and stuff. I was watching all that stuff, but it was just a blur for me, man. I had so much fun, and I looked up and we were in the tournament. Then you blink and we're all trying to figure out what we're going to do next year. And it was just a blur.
So you had a ton of highlights. My favorite D'Angelo Russell highlights from that season is your insane pass to Sam Thompson, where it did not result in a basket. So most times when you see that highlight, it like shows the pass and then it cuts off and it goes back to the slow-mo version.
Yeah.
So two-part question. First part is, do you ever still give him shit? Like, dude, how did you not finish that? That was the greatest pass ever. That's the first question.
I mean, yeah, it always goes viral, like random times throughout the year. And I always send it to him and I talk my little trash, but we used to practice that and he was the best guy to catch that ball and go up and dunk and make a highlight. So he's made a lot of highlights for me. So I can't really be mad at him on that one.
And then the follow-up to that is, you've had a ton of like celebration moments over your years, and we'll get to more NBA stuff, but whether it was, you know, with the Nets or with Ohio State, like, do you have, or of course the Ice in My Veins celebration, that's my favorite anything. Do you have a favorite of all your, you know, in the moment, spur of the moment celebrations?
I mean, that's the one that kind of really put me on the map, honestly. And that was just all natural, but I don't know, man. I remember I went through a phase where I was watching a lot of Kawhi Leonard, and it kind of took me out of my emotional stage of my game. Like, I was trying to model my like approach kind of like him. He was just like kind of a robot, you know what I mean? He didn't give you anything. I mean that in the nicest way. Like, he just didn't give you much, and I was trying to kind of model my game after that. So if it's not natural, I can't really make it happen, to be honest. I just go with the flow.
The first thing that comes to my mind, again, the Ice in the Veins is like a different category, right? Like, every third grader in the country is doing that now. Like, that's a different category. What I remember is being a senior in high school watching Ohio State at Minnesota, and you having one of the best first halves that the Big Ten has seen. I don't even remember the exact stats. I probably made like 5 threes in the first half or something. I had like 25 points, whatever it was. Right. Can you walk us through? You had a nice little, you better cool me down, I'm a little too hot right now moment. Yeah. There. Can you walk us through that half, really?
I mean, exactly. That half was pretty much all I had for that game. I really just remember going to the barn. That was their gym. And I felt the elevation, like, of the court. And it was something I never really felt before, and I remember just making a bunch of shots pregame and just in my little shooting time, and the rims were a little forgiving, and I just came out hot, and it was just one of those games for me where I came out hot, kind of ran out of gas, but one of the most exciting halves for me, for sure.
So I know you were always tuned into games where Ohio State is playing like IUPUI or IPFW, as they're now called, and you would make sure you stayed until the end to see when I came in the games, but
just so you know,
we're going to put this on Twitter, because when I was a senior, we played IPFW. I made a layup and then came down and made a three right after the next possession and ran down the court and fanned myself off just like you did. So I'm going to make sure that you see those side by side, because I remember being like, the game that I hit 2 threes or the game that I hit 2, whatever it is, like, I got to pull something out from the archives, and that's what I wanted. And I got to make sure you see that, because it's pretty funny.
Hey, whenever you get low, man, make sure you go to some of your high points in life, man, and with those buckets. It's okay to revisit those times, man.
That's right. I mean, my per 40 stats in that game, like, you would have thought I was an All-American. So, yeah, we go back to the well on that all the time.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So as we transition to, you know, your NBA career, I have the perfect NBA transition story, and it's the first time I met you. All right.
Talk to me.
Bulls, Cavs, closeout game for the Cavs. LeBron back on the Cavs. You were at NBA Combine. I might have the game messed up. It might have been Bulls Heat, but you were at the NBA Combine at the United Center with Devin Booker. Do you remember this?
I think I do. Is that when Jimmy Butler hit a buzzer beater?
That was that series.
Yep.
So you were there, okay? And I see you in the hall, and I'm a huge Ohio State fan, all right? And I get this picture, me and you, all right? That's for sure you.
That's okay? Crazy, yeah.
The best part of that is I asked Devin Booker, hey, man, can you take this picture?
Okay, not because knowing who he was.
Well, I probably knew who Devin Booker was at the time, but I was like the biggest D'Angelo Russell fan. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like shaking, handing Booker the phone. And I think back now, like if I had a picture with you and Booker, that would be like the coolest picture ever. So that's my story of when we first met. But transitioning to the NBA, all right, you're the number two pick to the Lakers, biggest American franchise, maybe besides the Cowboys. All right, Kobe's there. Like, what's going through your mind when you're like, I'm going to the Lakers right now? Holy shit, I was just playing with Mark Loving. Now I'm going to play with Kobe.
Hey, chill, man. Hey,
that was not nice.
No, I'm just saying.
That's another guy that would have been, I think, would have really been a pro, man, if I was just around. If I was around. But shout out to Mark. But if I was, I would say when I came in, I was 18. So I always had this, like, LeBron, Kobe beef with my brother, right? And he was a Kobe guy and I was a LeBron guy. And it got so intense throughout our years of just watching those dudes compete that we thought it was like they really didn't like each other. Like we were serious about that. So when I got drafted, I kind of took on that a little bit. Like Kobe, LeBron, you know what I mean? Like I was all about LeBron. And so when I got around him, I was obviously a fan and I was always in awe. But I kind of tried to approach it like it wasn't that big of a deal when it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
But it helped me get through like some of my fanning out moments that I probably would have had if I treated it like that. So the whole year for me was just I was a sponge, man. I probably had like 6 or 7 vets on my team. I was one of the youngest guys. And I was just getting a lot of knowledge from everywhere. And it was a blur for me as well. But when I look back on it, it was one of the crazier moments in my life just to get the opportunity to play with Bean and to get to witness that up close.
So you have the unbelievably fortunate career to the fact that you've played with LeBron, you've played with Kobe. Obviously, those are two of the greatest teammates you could possibly have, right? But there's got to be some other guys that stand out to you, whether it be on the Nets, whether it be on the Lakers, like you name it. What are some of the guys that stand out when I ask you, like, who's the best teammate you've ever had?
It's crazy you say LeBron, you say Kobe. I played with Draymond Green. I played with Steph Curry. I played with Anthony Depp, all these dudes.
Yeah.
But like, my favorite teammate by far is Ed Davis. It's crazy, but Ed Davis is probably one of my favorite teammates, man. Just getting an opportunity to be with that dude every day. One of the smartest dudes in the league. Probably wouldn't have guessed it, but Ed Davis and I just named the list of guys that I've crossed paths with, but the Jared Dudleys, the Ed Davises, those guys really, Damari Carroll, those guys really gave me that they gave me all the jewels when I really needed it, when I had one of my best years in Brooklyn. And that's kind of what helped me turn the corner of my NBA career for sure.
Your time in Brooklyn was so exciting, not just to former Ohio State or Nets fans, current Ohio State or Nets fans, but also just like basketball fans. That team was so fun. You guys were dancing. You were an all-star. All of a sudden, you're being traded to – it's not like you got traded to, you know, Sacramento in a downtime or anything like that. You got traded to a team that won, you know, three championships.
Yeah.
Playing with arguably the best player in the league currently. Was there a I'm sad that this Nets chapter's ending. I'm psyched that this Warriors chapter's starting. Like, it's almost like a forgotten D'Angelo Russell chapter that you played there with those guys. Like, what was that like, Steve Kerr, Steph, Clay, really from the trade and on?
I mean, it was super cool, you know, to go from playing with the Lakers where we were losing and nothing about it was win now mode. It was all about rebuilding or whatnot. And then go into Brooklyn where they weren't thinking about winning either when I got there. And then it became a winning thing. And then going to the Warriors and experiencing what a winning organization looks, feels, smells like. You could just tell like it's some winning going on right now here. And you're either a part of it or you're going to get left in the dust. And I jumped on ship and it was just a bunch of Like I said, I relate to it as being a sponge. Like I got to ask all the questions I wanted with Steve. I was around Mike Brown, those guys, those minds of basketball kind of just opened my eyes a little more, being around them and watching how they worked every day. Steph Curry, Clay, Dre, had young Jordan Poole, like all those guys kind of, they molded. I got to see that mold of what was working over there in the Bay for sure.
Who's the best practice shooter you've ever seen out of these three? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Cam Williams.
Cam is
the best. He's the best practice shooter I've ever seen. He's the best pickup player I've ever seen. I will go to the grave saying that. I've said it on this show like 100 times.
Cam was him, man. He was – people don't know he led the EYBL in points per game.
Literally, which is the craziest stat ever.
Once I got to see Steph, the way he practiced, he really practices how he plays. So that alone, my respect just went up to a completely different level because a lot of guys don't practice how they play. I mean, it's kind of impossible, but him running around screens and being in the best shape ever to do that and to be the vocal point of an offense and the system in the offense, let alone he practices like that, man. I tried to hang out with him. I tried to train with him one day. Well, a few times when I first got there, we were doing the warm-up, and the warm-up felt like conditioning. So I was like, it woke me up a little bit. But he really practiced how he plays, man, and it translates.
All right. I'm a huge LeBron fan. You're a huge LeBron fan. I have to. Well, I don't know if you're still a fan or how that works if you become not a fan once you...
No, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Trust me, I'm a fan.
So hell yeah. What was last year like, you know, getting back to the Lakers? We were the first to tweet out breaking news. First look at D'Angelo Russell in a Lakers jersey using your old pictures, which was a common Twitter joke. But like, what was that like getting back to LA playing with LeBron last year, where it was like, maybe this guy, you know, maybe D'Lo can help us make some noise in the playoffs. And now it's like, we see today a tweet, D'Lo's our starting point guard. We're going to go win a championship and try to win a championship with this team. Like, what did it feel like last year? We'll start with that. That was too long of a question. Just what was last year's run like, beating the Warriors, beating Steph, beating the guys you had played with and playing with LeBron and AD?
Honestly, it was hard to gauge because we were doing everything on the fly, I will say. Like, we got there, had to just adjust and adapt to what was going on, and we turned it around, and then you looked up, we were in the playoffs, we had a chance, we won the first series, now we're in the second series. Dang, we look up, we're in the Western Conference. So it was all just on the fly. But I will say, I mean, some of my best times in the NBA is when you're locked into your routine and you don't even realize what game of the season, what game it is during in the season. Like, you just locked in, man, and the season's just flying by. And when we got to LA, the work just started right away. Like, you could feel the work environment that we were joining on with. And when we got there, it was jumped right into our routine, figuring out what we needed to get right. They gave us everything we needed. Obviously, the new guy's going to take some minute. It's going to take some time to adjust to, but we adjusted right away, and it made it so easy just playing with LeBron and AD. They cover so much. They cover so much throughout a game. If it's scoring, if it's defense, if it's whatever you need, they find a way to give the team what it needs for a long period throughout the game. And to be able to find your niche around those guys is what my focus was. Like, how can I help these guys win? And it started clicking right away. Usually that takes some time. So for us to kind of figure it out right away, and then, like you said, for them to have a confidence in me to be a part of what we're trying to do this year, I'm just grateful, honestly. I'm just grateful. You see all the trade talks and you see all the crazy stuff you can't really control, but when you look at it, man, I'm still in the NBA. I'm going on year 9, and this is just a moment that I'm grateful to be a part of. So,
yeah, I think you and the Lakers are obviously poised for a big and exciting year. I have to ask, though, anything last year that LeBron said or did in a game, in a practice, where you were just like, holy shit, I can't believe that guy just did that. Or like, wow, I cannot believe that he's doing this on the plane. Or like, we have a game tomorrow and he's like lifting. Or like, is there anything that sticks out to you that was just like different about LeBron than anywhere else you'd ever been?
I mean, you can just you're going to feel that way about the way he carries himself. Honestly, you could just it's so presidential, and it's you could learn a lot from just watching him, obviously. But on the court, I mean, a lot of people rave about his body and the way it's built, and he's just so durable. I mean, I watched him roll his ankle and hurt his leg. And then, like, I didn't think he was going to come back last year, honestly. Like, I didn't know he was going to come back. And he came back right away. Like, he didn't miss a step. And it was just like, that's one of those things that, like, I know me, if I was going through that, it would have took me, it would have definitely taken me a little longer to bounce back. But to watch him come back dunking and doing what he was doing is just kind of like, that's why he is who he is, you know? You know, and he's all work, practice, the way he plays, he's on go, and it's and you say you're 21 or whatever it is, you can't tell, man. You can't tell. I'm around this dude every day. You can't tell. So you forget, you know, and I'm excited to do this one again with him, honestly, to be a part of it for sure.
I gotta shift gears, because what I love most about the Lakers, besides D'Angelo Russell, obviously, is that you guys are the most memeable team, like, ever. Whether it's LeBron and him, like, reading page one of a book, or, like, the one this past year where, you know, it was, like, everything that happens, LeBron goes, oh, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. You know, like, I predicted it. Or I'm sure you've seen it all over Twitter where they're, like, every game that happens, they just Photoshop a picture of you in there, and they go, D'Angelo Russell's getting up shots.
Oh,
after the game. Do you guys talk about that stuff? Do you send memes, like, to each other? If you're like, yo, Brown, like, I just saw this hilarious, because if I saw a meme about Kata, I'd send it to him right away. I would send it to him as quickly as I possibly could. I would love to know if you guys.
The group chat be jumping. we definitely got some good camaraderie in the group chat. But I mean, it's Lakerland, man. We always on TV. It's every tweet, every post, everything's always about the Lakers, man. So you just gotta kind of expect it at this point that there's gonna be memes and things like that. You know, even if there's nothing to talk about, they find something to make it relevant. So it is what it is.
I will put Andrew out there as your personal meme editor. If you need anything done, any photoshops,
we got you.
I need it. I need it. Whatever y'all recommend, I'm with it.
Okay, perfect. We can do that for you.
Say no more.
my last question for you, and I know Joey's got one more thing that we want to do before we get you out of here. So I work for TBT, and Joey has done some work as well with TBT. You had that camp with Russ Smith this year, where he was just cooking guys, looked unbelievable. Yeah. How is Russ Smith not in the NBA? I mean, that is the textbook 10th man. There's some injuries. He comes in and can score and, you know, keep the ship afloat until your starting point guard is healthy again.
I mean, it's tough, man. The league's all about opportunity, you know, and you got either two choices to make when it comes to the NBA. You're going to chase that opportunity, or you're going to get it where it's elsewhere. And I'm obviously speaking for a bunch of guys. There's elsewhere to get, you know, that money and be professional and be a professional athlete and take care of your family and do things like that. It's not just in the NBA. So it's all about opportunity. He's a guy that more than capable of being in the NBA for sure. And he's had a hell of a career over his time where he's been. But he came to the camp and lit it up and just reminded everybody that he's more than capable of dominating the game at any level against anybody, against whoever. I've been seeing it for the longest, and I always believed in this dude. So to see him continue to do it every year, it's just, I mean, he's a dog. You know, you can't really teach that.
We got to get you to pull up to TBT next year. We got tickets for you. Come hang out.
I was always trying to catch my guy Trevor playing in it, and catch the Ohio State team playing. But it's always like a time where I'm like vacating during the season. I mean, when the season just ends and things like that. So I would love to. Where is it this year?
It's going to be a bunch of similar places.
Do they change the locations?
Some new places.
Same?
Yeah. Some will be same. Like there will definitely, I'm sure, be an Ohio location or two. So yeah. if you're around, we got tickets for you, of course.
Man, I watch all them games. John Elmore, he's crazy.
We love John.
It's a few dudes I watch, man. Them dudes are – I wish his brother played still. I was a fan of his brother.
Yes, really? I love it.
Yeah, that's – yeah, he doesn't need to hear that, though. We don't need him to know about that. But D-Lo, this has been a blast. We appreciate you. Long time coming, like I said. For the fans that are listening to this for the first time, Lakers fans, you know, whoever it is, right? D'Angelo knows this. We're not talking to him. We're talking to the people listening. We end our show the same way, every guest, every time. And I'm sure when D'Lo, when we got this figured out and we got the time in place, he came prepared. I know he did. We ask every guest, we flip the table on them. We say, it's been Drive the Lane. We've been asking you questions. It's annoying. We've been peppering you with questions. And we want to turn the tables, let you be the host for the next however many questions you have, and ask you if you have any questions for us. It's your show. You can ask us whatever's on your mind, whether it's basketball, it's life, it's all up to you. Ask away. The show is yours.
Hey, you know, I first of all, I want to thank y'all again for allowing me to be on here. We figured it out and we made it happen. Appreciate you guys. But I mean, obviously y'all been doing this for a little while now. Do y'all keep it all basketball, or do y'all try to branch out and make it about things y'all really are interested in with the guests that come on here? You know what I mean? With as far as like the question and where y'all want to navigate the podcast.
I think in a perfect world, and me and Andrew are pretty aligned on this. In a perfect world, this could be a Big Ten basketball show where, you know, we have guys from every school you could think of, and we, you know, get picked up by, you know, shout out ET. He passed up on a great thing and went with a different Ohio State show for his Beyond the Big Ten. But we love ET, so that I'm just giving him shit. But, you know, in a perfect world, it would be a Big Ten basketball show. That's obviously, you know, my bread and butter, right? I mean, like, I study the Big Ten like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. Right now, obviously, the show is more geared towards Ohio State fans, whether it be football or basketball. Right now, we talk a little bit more football, even though we want to talk as much about basketball as we can, hence why we're trying to get you on, right? So that's kind of – to your point, it's definitely based on the guest. If we have a football guest, it's probably going to be more of a football show. But when we have you, we're going to talk more about Ohio State hoops. And that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah. I mean, just from the outside looking in, I'm a fan of the podcast space. I really am. But I find it more interesting when the hosts are asking those deeper questions off topic, not on the sport, on, because people really want to get to know guys and are fans of guys and want to know, like, what if the experience I had with Andrew didn't go so well? You know what I mean? And he just caught me at a bad moment and we're laughing about it years later, you know? And it's like, people want to know those things. And I mean, good luck to whatever you guys are planning on doing in the future with it. And any way I can help you, I got y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Sounds like you are going to be on once a week, the D-Lo minute. You know, you come on.
I'm going to have my own podcast. Honestly, that's stay tuned.
You should, man. Absolutely.
I'm going the route. I can't speak too much on it. Just
yeah, you can.
Tuned.
We'll cut this all out.
I mean, I'm going the route of do what you want with it. It's going to be good. Good buzz for my podcast.
Good.
But I want to go to the route of asking multiple questions off the lines of basketball or whatever sport. I want to be as broad as possible. And I think that's what, like, fans don't get to see, you know, that side of people. Obviously, you got to keep the fans that are really in tune, engaged on the sport and the topic of the brand of Ohio State, things like that. But I'm sure they'll really appreciate y'all's space when they really get to hear the ins and outs and answers and responses to stuff that they're not expecting, and the people aren't expecting that, but that's what they want. I'm telling you, it's going to navigate it and take it a long way.
I tell you what, and Andrew can agree here, when we have guests on the first time, it's surface level stuff, right? But now you get us a little bit more. Next time we have you on, it's different questions, right?
Yeah, of course.
when we ask, hey, who do you guys want on? They're like, we want to hear D'Angelo Russell and hear his time at Ohio State. You know, like that's that's what we know. And now it's like, all right, now we get to ask you next time, D Russ, who's your dream podcast guest? You know?
Yeah, I Ohio State. I'm still in contact with all my roommates, which was Kata, JT,
2:30,
Trevor,
2:30.
I'm still in contact with all those dudes. So we could do something where we all on there and we just kind of reminisce and go back. I think that'd be a cool episode for the fans because it was such a blur.
Okay, fine. We'll do an episode with four NBA players that also all happen to have gone to Ohio State. No problem. We're
not
in
bad
for that.
At all, right? Not bad at all. Not bad.
So two things, and then we'll let you get out of here. The first one is, obviously, Joey and I have tons of experience running a podcast. We're your guys to help make it happen. When the D-Lo show takes off, we're ready to make it happen. So just, you know, hit us up, hit us in the DMs. We're ready.
We'll make something happen. We'll make something happen for sure.
I love it. But we're catching your drift here, and we'll end it with this. And this will be kind of like a tease to the next time we have you on. All right. D'Angelo Russell, you're about to start the new season. What non-basketball activity did you get into over the last few months? And this is how we'll close the show. And we know we saw all over social, you know, your kid's first birthday with the card D'Lo jersey. So you can't use that as an answer. What non-basketball noise did you get into over the summer?
I mean, I picked up golf a little bit. I mean, that's my thing, honestly. I've been on the golf wave a little bit, having time in the. I was from in Minnesota to LA. I didn't really have as much time as I have now, so I'm trying to take golf seriously, get nice at that. I got some cool things coming up with the brand Way of Wade. Y'all stay tuned with that. Just being involved with the brand, they're letting me collab on a lifestyle and having my own shoe and things like that. So we got a lot of things coming up.
That was the one thing I didn't get to ask you about was if you remember this, I'd be impressed, but we sat in the weight room watching the guys lift and you were why I sing your praises all the time is because again, you don't know me as well as a million other Buckeye alumni guys, but you still were asking me about my family and we were shooting the shit and it was great. And I asked you because I follow this stuff on Twitter. I'm like, I know you're a sneaker free agent, right? Like, where are you going? And you were like, I can't tell you, but it's basically you said it's not Nike and it's not Adidas and it's not Jordan. And you're rattling them off. And I have like three pairs of Way of Wades in here, you know.
I remember we had that conversation.
Yeah.
And that was. Nobody was with Way of Wade, so it was kind of a big secret, and we were going to promote it and do things like that. But, man, that brand alone is going to be so big in a few years. Like, it's going to be bigger than you expect, I'm telling you. Like, it's kind of like Nike and Jordan, how they were before it was, like, competitive. And Li Ning and Way of Wade, and they're just both going to be monsters. So I'm excited to be a part of this one for sure.
Can I sneak in one final question?
Let's do it.
That's what we do though. We just keep saying this is our last question, and then and then you just keep asking more questions. And then...
last one. I'm watching my Packers get their ass kicked.
Last one. You could pick any celebrity, any influencer to rep your brand. Who are you picking?
I got a girlfriend. Her name's Lauda. So if my girlfriend, she's a model. If she just wore our brand just a little more. I think our following will go up and people will really invest in it if they see her in it. So that's who I got. I don't really name drop no celebrities. I'm all about my missus, so that's about it.
Well, D'Lo, we appreciate it, man. This was a blast. If you ever need anybody to promote Way of Wade, like you got two guys right here that'll wear till the day we die. So you let us know. We always joke about it. We can be bought. There's no doubt about it. So you let us know. But no, in all seriousness, man, this was a blast. We can't wait to have you on again. And I would say good luck to your Packers, but I hate the Packers with all my heart.
Oh, man. We always got that hater in the
couple
room.
Chicago guys, man. Couple Chicago guys.
No, that's my favorite team in the division, for sure. We get to beat up on y'all twice a year.
Okay. All right. This is fun. This is fun. This is good.
All right, fellas. I appreciate y'all, man.
All right, man. We appreciate
you. Good luck to the Lakers this year. Let's bring home a championship.
No, I don't know about all that either.
Thank you. He's probably a Pistons fan or somebody.
Knicks.
All right, we hope you enjoyed that interview with D'Angelo Russell. But to be honest and to be fair, and Joey, you may disagree, I don't think anyone enjoyed it more than me. So I'm the big winner this week. We lost all our bets. We lost all our fantasy matches. But we're the big winners by having D'Lo on the pod this week.
We're winners in this little thing we call life, Andrew. Because at the end of the day, you and me, couple Buckeye fans and a couple of Tottenham Hotspurs fans, and it just can't get any better than that.
Bad news, Drive the Lane Pod woke up today.
Bad news, we're converting to a Tottenham Hotspur podcast. First episode is breaking down the win against Liverpool.
So here's my hypothetical for you.
Yeah, talk to me.
People are so upset on Twitter. Two-loss LSU, ranked 5-0 Maryland, who Ohio State happens to play this week. Unranked. Okay. Worth mentioning, 5-0 Missouri Tigers, ranked 21. Just worth mentioning. They play LSU this week at home. Worth mentioning. So here's my question.
With the best wide receiver in the country, not named Marvin Harrison.
No, they have the best wide receiver in the country.
Right. Heard you.
There's actually so many hypotheticals. Would you rather have Brady Cook or Kyle McCord? Would you rather have Luther Burden or Marvin Harrison? We're going to wait on all that. Would you rather
Eli Drinkwitz or Ryan Day?
The only one of those that I actually
would rather be black and gold or scarlet and gray.
The only one of those is actually a question is McCord versus Cook, which we'll see this week against LSU. But my question to you is Maryland and LSU play, gun to your head. Who do you think wins that game? For all the people who are upset about the rankings, like people get so pissed about the rankings.
Obviously LSU.
Right.
They have better players, but I don't know. I mean, Maryland's frisky. They got a great quarterback.
The reason I'm bringing it up and the reason it makes sense is because Ohio State plays Maryland at home this week. So I'm sure a lot of people saying, oh, of course, Maryland's not ranked the week Ohio State plays them at home, and then they'll lose and then they'll never be ranked. And it's all a big ploy against Ohio State. However, counter to that is Ohio State moved up during a bye week to 4. Right.
Hey. So we won the bye week is what you're saying.
We won the bye week. They might
congratulations.
They might have been 4 last week.
Can we talk about how Georgia's is not the best team in the country?
We can talk about it.
Okay. Just I'm glad that we can if we wanted to.
I
who's the best team in the country right now?
I would be the most scared to play USC right now if you're Ohio State. Because I'm just thinking about from Ohio State's perspective, I don't think Ohio State could score enough to keep up with USC.
Our defense has been great, though.
But it's Caleb freaking Williams.
It is.
I'm going to go on the record right now and say I'd love to see that matchup happen this year some way.
I'll go on record and say I'd love to see it, too. Hook 'em. I think Texas is the best team in the country.
They looked real good against Kansas. However, first half, they're only up 6.
Okay, when
Kansas,
the game,
let me finish what I'm saying. Kansas quarterback didn't play the second half.
When the game started, USC was tied with Colorado. They only won by 7.
And they only won by 7. So. I'm talking just strictly there. I think they would put up too many points for Ohio State to be able to keep up with. But the beauty of college football is we may get to see all that.
And the other beauty is that we can just argue about it forever and we might not ever see.
We probably won't, more than likely.
Most likely, we probably won't.
I don't really have anything else to say on this episode.
Me neither. If you're listening to this after the fact, please tweet at us to congratulate us on Travis Kelce having a great game. Andrew has him in fantasy. I have a small bet on him to score a bunch of different ways because Taylor Swift's in the crowd, so feel like he might show out.
Do you mean like rushing and receiving a bunch of different ways or like?
No, like to score the first touchdown, to score 2 touchdowns.
Got it.
Like a little sprinkle on both of those. So, yeah, they have some really silly props in the sportsbook apps all about Taylor Swift. Like, will Travis Kelce have a 22-yard catch? Stuff like that. it's really goofy.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Terps.